The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hour two of the Mark Davis Show. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark today. Mark will be back on Monday. Meanwhile, we have on our guest line Representative Roger Williams from the Texas 25th Congressional District. That's kind of west of the DFW Metroplex, but with a limb kind of sticking into the heart of the Metroplex. Representative Roger Williams, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
You bet, Paul. Good to hear from you. Good to be on with you.
Hey, listen, I have two things I want to talk to you about today, and we could take them whichever order you want. One is the latest border legislation to screen migrants against the terrorist watch list and the whole subject of the border. And the other is EPA tailpipe emissions that will dramatically impact what kind of cars we buy. You're a car dealer. I want your insider perspective on that. Which one do you want to take first?
Well, let's take the border, okay?
Okay.
We all know the border is the biggest issue we got in America today, it's not being dealt with by Biden. They've caused the problem. I've got a bill out there that is pretty simple. It makes it a law to screen and detain these people that are being captured and border down at the border, and compare it against the federal terror watch list to see if we got terrorists coming across our border. We know we do. And this is being done, but it makes it a law. It's pretty simple. It's bipartisan. I would think that we could get it through the House and Senate, and hopefully Biden would sign it. But, you know, there were 69 people between now and or just the first 2 months of this year that we stopped that were potential terrorists. So it's a real problem. And I've been down at the border a lot, many, many times since 2005 when I was Secretary of State under Governor Perry. It's worse today than it was yesterday. It's going to be worse tomorrow than it is today. And, you know, the truth of the matter is at the end of the day, we know what works. We know the wall works. We know that more judges worked. We know that Title 42 worked, and we know that stay in Mexico policy works, and the Supreme Court has even supported that. And we had a Border Patrol agent tell us several weeks ago that if we just did the stay in Mexico policy, crossings would be reduced by 70%. And Joe Biden can do that. He doesn't need Congress. He can do that. So we've got to fix this border. We've got people over here. I think you mentioned we got 12 or 15 million people over here that we don't know who they are. I think it's more like 20. And these are people that are not coming over here to help America. They're coming over to hurt us and kill us. And we got to address it. It's the biggest thing we got to do in my mind. And actually, a strong border with us helps the whole world.
Well, your legislation to check people coming across against the terror watch list, why do you need a law for that? It seems like common sense.
Well, it is common sense, and the Border Patrol doing a great job, but they're overwhelmed on everything. And this just makes sure that we don't get loose and decide to check these people that are coming over here. So it just makes what we're doing now a law that you have to do it. And you're right, it is common sense, and it's also common sense to think that people would support this. But I'm sure that we're going to have some Democrats that don't for whatever reason. But we need to make it law, so it makes it easier for the Border Patrol to do their job.
Well, what about the fact that if you can make it the law, but the Biden administration will just ignore it?
Well, that could very easily happen. We could get it passed out of the House and Senate, and he could veto it. He's done that before, even though both houses have passed it. And of course,
he could also sign it and then ignore it.
Exactly, he could do that, but it's law, and we would hopefully remind even people who live here we are a land of laws. We used to be, at least. I just think it plays hand in hand. If they don't do it and don't want to do it for their idea of having eventually illegals be able to vote in America and change the whole course of our country. But we've got to keep fighting. We've got to keep reminding people, terrorists and Democrats and liberals and lefties, that this is a nation of law. We adhere to the law. If you adhere to the law, it works.
U.S. Representative Roger Williams from Texas's 25th is with us. So let me ask you this. you say 20 million, the official estimate's between 9 and 10. I think God himself is the only one who really knows.
Yeah.
That how many are here, how many we have let just flood into the country. That is a meaningful percentage of 330 million citizens. That's a big number. What is the practical, how do you practically deal with that many people that are here illegally? Can you deport 20 million people?
They're illegally. Look, that's a number that's out of sight, right? You can't. We don't know who's here. We're never going to know who's here until we possibly have terrorist acts in America. But there's a point in time we got to stop the number, right, Paul?
I mean,
if it's 10, 15, if it's 20, we got to have a point in time that we stop it. So at least there's that many here that we can begin to see how we're going to identify them and how we're going to take react to them breaking the law. But right now you've got 5,000 illegals being released in our country every single day. And, they're getting benefits that veterans aren't getting or anything else. But there's got to be a point in time that we stop it. And then we gather up who's here and see why are you here? Why are you breaking the law? What do you want to do?
It just the social services cost, the burden on public schools, the burden on law enforcement, the burden on municipal budgets. I just don't see how I don't see how you can allow this to stand. But I can't come up with a practical way to deal with it. I can't write a prescription to fix it in my own head.
Right. And to me, you're exactly right. And to me, the only fix is to have a day that you start adhering to the law again, building the wall, putting more judges down there, giving these people due process, identifying who the terrorists are, detaining them. There's laws in place to keep the border solid, but when you ignore the laws, this is what you get. And we're talking about 15 to 20 million today. How many are we going to talk about 5 months from now, right? And none of them are coming over here to do great things. I mean, we know there's some bad people coming over here. We see what happens every day in America with illegals that shouldn't be here.
Well, what about the phenomenon that scares me to death? You get a Republican elected to the presidency in 2024, takes office in 2025, closes the border. Good. Hooray. We've stopped the madness. And then 4 years, 8 years later, you elect a Democrat, reopen the border. We just whipsaw back and forth. I don't understand why we as a country can't look at this and say, this is crazy. We can't let limitless numbers of people come into the country illegally. We're the only country on the planet that does
right. This.
No other country. There's not the good leftist socialist Europe. None of them do this.
No, they don't. And we're the easiest to get through. And it's all by design. This is a socialistic agenda that they're trying to pass. They want to have illegals be able to vote. They think they'll all vote Democrat and they'll change the course of our country. There's got to be a day you stop the madness. And it appears it's going to have to be in November of 2024 by electing Donald Trump. But right now, I would say that we need to build the wall. We need to get back to what we know works.
Representative Roger Williams with us here from the 25th District of Texas, which is just west of the DFW metro area. So, Congressman, let's shift gears. Let's go to the EPA. The EPA, which we don't vote for, we don't elect anybody to the EPA. The EPA is a executive branch government agency that writes regulations that have the force of law, and they released a set of regs last week that dramatically changes the rules on tailpipe emissions, they change the emission rules as a backdoor way to make it harder to buy a gasoline vehicle and thus forcing us into electric vehicles. That may be a simplistic explanation, but you're a car dealer, so put this in perspective for us.
Well, you're right. I've been in the car business. My family has for over 80 years, so I consider myself an expert on this. And by raising these EPA standards, you're exactly right. They think that they're going to drive people to the electric vehicle and get away from gas power. Not going to happen. I'm here to tell you this electric EV thing is a phony economy. It's woke. It's never going to work. One of my dealerships is in Weatherford, and we have nobody coming in wanting an EV vehicle. We don't even carry them. But yet the government is mandating that the car dealers spend millions of dollars on charging stations that they're never going to get a benefit from. They're forcing people to think about buying things they don't want. Right now, they can still buy gas-powered vehicles, as you know. But the truth of the matter is, somebody like me who's in the business, I'm not against EV vehicles, but what I'm for is competition. And the idea to drive EV vehicles down the people's throat and not let them be able to buy what they want to buy is un-American, is socialistic again, and the EPA is rogue, and they're in cahoots with the Biden administration on this green energy bailout. And this is something that's got to stop. And I know President Trump has said when he gets in, he will reduce the EPA standards, which is what they should be. And then we'll let competition begin to where people can order and buy cars they want, not be forced to buy things. You know, look, put it in perspective, Paul. You're from Tyler. I'm from Weatherford, Texas. If you want to load up an electric truck, for example, and pull a boat, a two-horse trailer, and a jet ski and go to Midland, Texas, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. And the cost of the vehicle is out of sight. They're going to be thousands of dollars more than they are now. People are going to have to either come out of their pocket for that or finance that at these high interest rates.
Or it's subsidized by the government. It's, you know, it's subsidized with tax dollars.
Well, it is. And the thing about it is, you know, you get $7,500 tax break. Dealer gets $7,500 for selling at the manufacturer. It's a total loser for the manufacturer. And it's a total loser for jobs. I mean, these union members that are supporting Biden out of the UAW, they're going to lose their jobs over this because it takes less manpower to build an electric vehicle. And the electric vehicle is also heavier than what we have now. It's going to tear our roads up and our highways. It's a total disaster. Now, one other thing about it is the fact there's no infrastructure. And they got $1 trillion in their budget to build out infrastructure. And there hasn't been one charging station built yet by the federal government. This is something the private sector should do, not the federal government. Let the private sector decide what gets built out and save taxpayers money.
Nobody can. Maybe you can answer this question. Where is the electric generating capacity going to come from to charge all of these EVs? Because I've been told, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I read somewhere, and it seemed authoritative, that an electric vehicle plugged into the grid is the equivalent of another air conditioner.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of communities that won't even be able to have it. And people are going to be standing in line at these charging stations. And let me tell you, you know what a government charging station will look like. I mean,
yeah.
The first day it's going to have graffiti on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be broken, and it'll never be fixed. And that's why the private sector needs to take a role in this if they feel like there's return on investment. The automobile business built this country, and the idea of having electric vehicles in place of work vehicles. Can you imagine our military vehicles being all electric? And it's just not going to work. And again, this electric and EV mandate, EV vehicle situation will end with Trump. I mean, if he lowers the EPA standards, the EV vehicle will just be part of the history books.
You know, if you're a good Northeast liberal living in New England or living in Washington or New York, where the commute distances are fairly short, is easy for you to believe that electric vehicles just as good and just as useful as a gasoline powered vehicle. They have no understanding of the distances that people drive out here in the heartland.
No, and look, it's what we just said too. You and I and your listeners are not against EV vehicles. We'll force competition. And an EV vehicle in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, you name it, may work. But let the consumer decide that, not force the federal government to make a decision that people don't want.
And are the manufacturers, I know a good friend of mine is a Ford dealer in Tyler, and the manufacturer wanted him to spend an enormous amount of money to become an electric an EV dealer, and he says, I'll never get my money out of it.
No, it's a total loser. I mean, we spent millions of dollars on complying to what we're supposed to in our dealerships, and it's never going to get the money back. It's a horrible return on investment. It's a lot of dealers are not going to do it. It'll be like the Edsel years ago. You're just going to read about it one day. and look, if you want an EV vehicle in order, if you don't, then don't order it. Buy what you want to buy and let competition work. Let the free market work. Let entrepreneurship work. Let people make profits and let's plow them back into making customers get better service.
All right. Last thing before I let you go, Congressman Roger Williams from the 25th District of Texas. Give me a straight answer on this. Prospects for the Republicans holding or expanding the majority in the House?
I think that we should be able to have the majority. We should be able to gain more seats. I mean, we're the ones that own the border debate. We're the ones that own the economy debate. That's what people want to talk about. The Democrats can't run on that. But we also, to be honest with you, we need to quit beating ourselves up. We need to quit having people that run for Congress for 2-year terms to quit in the middle of their term.
Yeah, and we need to quit fighting over who the speaker is.
We had a speaker in Kevin McCarthy. What happened there was wrong. Now we've got a good one in Mike Johnson. It's a tough job, but we've got to look at, if we don't have a majority in the House of Representatives, this world's going to implode, and our country will too. I think we'll be fine, but let's focus on what we're good at. Let's focus and remind people what the Democrats are not good at, but sell ourselves. And we got the great message: lower taxes, less government, cut spending, defend borders, and let's run with that and let's win with it.
Roger Williams of the 25th District of Texas. Always great talking to you, Congressman. I really appreciate you taking your time.
And God bless, Paul.
Oh, God bless you, and I wish you a happy Easter.
Same to you. Thank you.
There he goes, Congressman Roger Williams of Texas. Here we go. More of the show coming up after the break. Stay with us. Okay, I stand justly accused of a talk show sin. I let the last segment go long, which pushed the commercial breakdown toward the bottom of the hour, which makes this segment incredibly short. But if I let this one go long, I just continue to compound the felony. So this is going to be a short segment so we can get back on time, so we have time to talk to you and talk about what's on our minds this morning here on the 28th of March. So it's Paul Glaser sending in for Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer, 866-660-5759. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we've talked about so far this morning, I'm going to throw this out here for you to think about. We'll take it up after the bottom of the hour. This text at 866-660-5759. You probably won't want to discuss this, but my problem with Trump was his administration's COVID response. Sure, I know he was lied to by Fauci and company, but he still takes credit for the shot and has never acknowledged the problems with it. I would have much more respect for him if he would address it. All right, well, let's talk about that after the bottom of the hour. At 866-660-5759, Paul Glaser for Mark Davis. There's more coming. Don't go away. It's 836 straight up. Paul Glaser here for Mark Davis at 660 AM The Answer. And wanting to hear from you at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. So I read this text before the break at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to read it to you again in case you missed it, because I want to talk about it. The texter at the number I just gave you, 866-660-5759, said this, quote, "You probably won't want to discuss this one, but my problem with Trump was his administration's COVID response. Sure, I know he was lied to by Fauci and company, but he still takes credit for the shot and has never acknowledged the problems with it. I would have much more respect for him if he would address it." Well, let me address it. Let me weigh in on this, if you will, Mr. or Ms. Texter. The COVID response, the rearview mirror, the hindsight view of the COVID response by the Trump administration, followed immediately by the Biden administration, it's clear that much of it was completely wrong. But let's say, and Trump has to bear some responsibility, no question. But let's go back and just look kind of deeply at the history of the COVID response. If you will recall, we were told sometime in late March that we needed, that what the whole healthcare system in the United States needed was, quote, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, end quote, which is to say 2 weeks where we'd all stay home and minimize our risks of interfacing with one another and not have restaurants and crowds in stores and church and school and all these things that might spread the virus and result in overwhelming the healthcare industry's ability to respond, overwhelm hospitals and emergency rooms and clinics. That's what we were told. And it was going to be 2 weeks. We're all going to just kind of take a breather here and give this time to kind of settle down. We know we're going to have a COVID outbreak, but we're going to flatten the curve. We're going to make the rise of the number of cases less steep. That was what we were told. That let the camel's nose under the tent. And 2 weeks to flatten the curve turned into almost 2 years of the most gross infringement on our civil liberties since the founding of the nation. And it set the predicate for future emergencies to be used as a way to again, curtail our civil liberties and curtail our freedom. And it's going to it's a dark chapter in our history. And as it turned out, based on the experience of a country like Sweden, Sweden basically said, if you're an at-risk person, if you have comorbidities, if your risk of infection is greater, then stay home. The rest of the country and the economy stayed open, and Sweden did better than we did here in the United States. And Ron DeSantis in Florida, to a lesser degree, Greg Abbott in Texas, but Ron DeSantis was on the bleeding edge of this. He said, we're going to protect the vulnerable and let the rest of the people continue to have their freedom. Florida did no worse than any other state in the union and did better than most, with less harm to its school children and less harm to its economy. The response to COVID was wrong. We now know from good clinical work, that good studies that have been done, that forcing everybody to walk around wearing a mask didn't do anything. It was not effective. It didn't slow the spread of the virus. It didn't protect anybody. You know, wearing a dirty cloth across your face didn't help. And we were forced to do it. It was so crazy. You had to wear your mask walking into a restaurant, standing at the hostess stand. But when you got seated, you could take it off. So I guess when your butt cheeks are compressed, you pose less of a risk of spreading COVID. It was insane. And we should never have let it happen. We were way too meek. And it was Rush Limbaugh who said his greatest concern was how willingly we were surrendering our civil liberties, and he was absolutely right about it. We had never willingly given up our freedom in such a way before, and you do have to lay some of that at Trump's doorstep, but he was, in his defense, completely lied to, and look at the political position he was in. If he had said to Anthony Fauci, no, go pound sand, every single hour of every single day, every time somebody was sickened and died with COVID, would have been laid directly at his feet. He would have been blamed for everything. There's every single thing that happened with COVID would have been blamed on him. So there was no way for President Trump to win in that situation. And as to the vaccine, I remember saying, and I kind of regret saying it, I'll let him inject battery acid into me if it'll get me my freedom back. And I took the vaccine so that I could get that little piece of paper, you know, papers, please, so that I could be admitted into society. And I hate that I was put in that position, but I couldn't travel. I couldn't get on an airplane. I couldn't go to a concert. You had to have your vaccination card. And it's insane that we let that happen to us. And I'm again say that the COVID pandemic gave the left a playbook on how to use an emergency to curtail civil liberties. I hope that we learn something from that. We'll never let it happen again. What do you think? 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. It's Jay next on the Mark Davis Show. Jay, what about you?
Well, I used to sell face masks and face shields, so I had some inside ball game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the third day when they said, you got to wear a mask or you're going to die, I said, they're lying, and I'm not letting them put a bioweapon in my arm. And Trump, the best way for him to handle it when he gets back in office is come out and say, some people have been severely injured, some have died from it, and take care of those people. You know, if we've lost family members, and I have, my sister is a pile of ash now, you know, take care of them as best we can financially. People that are sick from it, take care of them medically and financially, if you can trust the medical thing at all. But here's the thing that troubles me most. I read a letter from a Chinese general last night. It was published by Emerald Robertson that says they are using the DNA they got from Ancestry 23 and from the COVID lie, and they're cooking up new bioweapons just to kill people in America and leave the Chinese alive.
Well, I don't know what your source is on that. I can't comment thoughtfully on it. I can just simply say, you know, it's the stuff out of a James Patterson novel. And
it is.
You know, it's a Nelson DeMille novel. It's the kind of thing that you read about on a vacation read. The fact that it is at least plausible should scare the bejeebers out of everybody. And, you know, I think the Chinese saw, I think our adversaries saw what can be done with a pathogen. And we now have the technology to manufacture pathogens. So if you're not frightened, you're not paying attention.
Can I add one last thing?
Of course.
Thank you. There's a medical reporter. She was a leftist, and now she's not, named Karen Kingston. She's under threat of her life, but she took all the white papers from Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca that the government forced them to publish. They didn't want to put it out for 80 years. And she's published all those white papers and helped interpret them. And it will show absolute proof in their words on their white papers. And that's the scientific papers they produced, that these were produced to be bioweapons.
So where does one go to see that? Because you're saying it on the radio is great, but where is it posted on the web?
Karen Kingston is on Substack, as is Emerald Robinson and Alex Berenson. So all three of those, Karen Kingston, Emerald Robinson, Alex Berenson, all on Substack. If you just, you know, Yahoo or search for the name, because I'm not going to give those companies credit. The G company and the Y company.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing is the G company has like a 90 share of search, which we broke up Standard Oil over a much smaller market share than Google has of search. And, you talk about a monopoly. Rockefeller never saw the day. I mean, my goodness, very, very powerful company. Jay, appreciate it. 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser here from Mark Davis. You know, one of the things, we are deeply divided, and there's no doubt about that. The question is why? Pundits constantly remind us that we're divided. Racial tensions are at levels that have not been seen since the 60s. Back in 2020, during that horrible COVID year, we endured a summer of rioting in our largest cities. Over 40% of Americans still to this day, as much as 40% of Americans believe that the results of the 2020 presidential election are not legitimate. In some places in the United States, if you're among those 40% and you express your sincerely held belief, which you have a First Amendment right to do, if you express that sincerely held belief, you risk everything from public shaming all the way to the loss of your livelihood. If you're a college student, I have a recent college grad, I have a little perspective on this. If you're a college student and you let slip that you or your parents might have supported or continue to support Donald Trump, you face consequences at college, running the gamut from grade retaliation by your professors all the way to actually being run off the campus. If you are a small business owner and you express your belief in conservative policy and you say so out loud, loudly and proudly, you could find yourself set upon by a pack of social media hyenas seeking to ruin your business and ruin your reputation. To a very uncomfortable degree, we are at each other's throats. A lot of people want you to believe that that's Donald Trump's fault. I say nonsense. It runs much deeper than that. The fundamental divide in the country, what has us at each other's throats, when you boil it down all the way to its essence, the fundamental divide lies in the answer to this question: is America a good country? Most of us on the right believe that it is. A loud and growing group on the left believes that it isn't. Many among our intelligentsia, who control the commanding heights of academia, media, entertainment, much of government, believe that the United States is irredeemably guilty of original sin. They believe that because this country was founded by white men, a number of whom owned slaves, and because legalized racial discrimination persisted into the 20th century, the country is fatally flawed and its foundational documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, are therefore illegitimate. Never mind to these people. Don't remind them, don't base your argument on the simple fact that everything connected to the human species is flawed, and that includes nations. the greatest men and women in all of history were all flawed, some greatly so. One example, Dr. Martin Luther King. He is now an acknowledged plagiarist and a philanderer, but it's his net contribution to the world that gives him his honored place in the American pantheon. So it is for the United States. When America's virtues and America's sins are placed in their respective places on the scale tips heavily toward the good. The author Alexis de Tocqueville is the one who said, America is great because America is good. We Americans are astonishingly generous. I travel a lot. You go around Europe, you don't see public buildings, libraries, art museums, concert halls, hospitals. You don't see them named after wealthy Europeans. In America, we have this amazing thing that we do. The first thing an American does when he gets rich is start looking for a way to give the money away. Americans are unbelievably generous. That's why we have the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. That's why we have the Morton H. Meyerson Symphony Center in Dallas and the Bass Hall in Fort Worth, is because Americans that make it, the first thing they do is start looking for ways to generously give the money away. It was America, and America alone, that turned philanthropy into an industry. The generosity that flows from economic success, born of the free market capitalism in America, is emulated in much of the world. We are astonishingly generous as a people. So acknowledging slavery and the sin of slavery, which was not an American invention, by the way, a lot of school kids don't know that. There's a lot of kids today that think America alone had slaves. Completely wrong. We inherited slavery. Not doesn't defend it, but we did inherit it. We didn't invent it. It remains true nonetheless that because the United States was established, however imperfectly, on the concepts of liberty and freedom, it has the United States, this country. Your mothers and fathers and your grandparents and those that went before you, this country has freed more people from bondage and lifted more people out of poverty than any other society in history. At one time, that fact was celebrated pretty much universally. Democrats, Republicans, left and right, we all agreed on that. Now it is in dispute, and until we settle that dispute, and irrespective of who wins the elections, we are in for a rough go in our politics, and I am solidly, squarely on the side of believing that America, net, 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 all sins considered, all virtues acknowledged, is a good country. And everything that we do, our politics should be driven by that fundamental belief. And one of the good things that came from COVID, if anything good came, is parents saw via Zoom school some of the garbage being taught to their kids, and they began taking action on it. 866-660-5759. It's Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 660 AM, The Answer. It's 8:57. As we tee up the next hour, let's just do a quick review of the first 2 hours of the show. We started the show talking about we lost what I think is about the last sane Democrat on the national stage, Joe Lieberman, former senator from Connecticut, died yesterday at the age of 82. Dying breed, sane Democrats, in my opinion. Joe Manchin's fairly sane guy. He leaves the Senate at the end of his term. He'll be gone when the new Congress is sworn in. So, are there any sane Democrats left? We talked with Roger Williams of the 25th congressional district here in Texas about electric vehicles and the insanity of that. We talked to immigration and the border. Let me throw one more thing in before the top. We can talk about this as well. It's Easter weekend. We celebrate Easter on Sunday. Easter is what established the Christian religion. The Christian religion is coming under fire in a lot of quarters. It is even in our own country. People on the left look askance at Christians. They point to some of the extremes of the early Christian church during the Inquisition in the 11th and 15th centuries. But since then, let's talk about what Christians have done. Since the 11th century, Western Europeans, overwhelmingly Christian, here's the list, made literacy the norm, established the university, established and nurtured representative government, did away with slavery on two continents, largely eradicated infectious disease, enshrined property rights, ended famine, harnessed electricity, established the rule of law through impartial courts, did away with religious persecution, and advanced a religion that believes in the hope of eternal life through resurrection, giving people hope beyond their troubles here on earth. Oh, and double the average lifespan, all while creating art, music, literature, and an environment that elevates the spirit and enriches the soul. That's what Christians have accomplished in the 1,000 years since the 11th century. Christianity, are you a believer? Are you not? But do you recognize what the net contribution that Christianity has made to the world here as we celebrate Easter this weekend? 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on 660 AM The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.